Thank you, Pastor Fiani, for your lead. Bless the Lord for wonderful worship service as we gather together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bless God. So glad to see all of you here today, and with our visitors as well. We give God thanks for all that He has done. It's so satisfying to see Brother Marcus with us today. The Lord bless you, sir. And we trust that you will be blessed by the Lord as well. The passage that was read is a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us. And we would like to take a look at it. I trust that you have your Bible so that if we go to another scripture, you will be able to follow us as we exhort the Lord. And the topic that I am going to use today to exhort us is changing a sad conversation. Changing a sad conversation. That's the topic we're going to use today as we look on God's word. And that is primarily taken from verse 17. And verse 17 read like this. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And if Jesus did not make mention of the fact that they were sad, we probably would have missed that by reading the scripture. We would have missed that vital piece of information. Hadn't it been for Jesus, watch their body language and see that these were two men who were very sad. And he asked them the question, what type of communication this that you are having? Women, for the most part, we would have conversation one with another. And there are times when the conversation are sad. The topic under discussion can at times be very sad. It can be a business that had gone wrong. It can be a loved one who has passed. It can be somebody losing their jobs. It can be any reason at all that creates a sad moment. And two brethren sit together and they are discussing it. And there is no joy coming from anywhere. It is just simply sad. And we men engage in that type of discussion over and again. And sometimes there does not seem to be any immediate answer to this problem. Unlike the woman who would probably scream out, and to a large extent many would have cried and get it over and done with. Sometimes the men hug themselves and let it create a very serious depression. This is how we are wired. And to discuss a sad situation, regardless of what it is, and there are many things that at times cause us to be sad as men. Here are two men which the scripture points out to us who were very sad because of a recent event. And as they walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were joined by a stranger who asked the question, why are you? What conversation is this that you're having? And then the stranger had, which is, as I said, vital to the whole discussion. And you are sad. But the question we'd like to ask one another right here, what is it that caused them to be sad? What is the true reason that caused these two disciples to be sad? The answer is in verse 21, if you have your Bible with you. It's in verse 21. Listen to what verse 21 says. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. The sadness of their conversation is to be found right here in this verse 21. And that's why the topic that we are looking on is saying, changing a sad conversation. This sad conversation requires an injection of change. Because here are these two disciples whose view on the recent event has created in their mind a sense of great disappointment, in that they were expecting Jesus to be a political leader. They expected Jesus to be another Moses. The scripture tells us over and again that the feelings of the Jews was that Jesus would come and deliver them from under the oppression of the Romans. They were looking on Jesus in the same vein as Moses. You will recall what Moses did. Oh, 10 plagues, which God has used him as instrument to apply over the Egyptians. 10 miracles. Of course, they knew that Jesus worked miracles, and so did Moses.
Amen.
They knew that Jesus did wonderful things, and so did Moses. They had seen Jesus as a political leader come to deliver the Jews from the Romans, and they were waiting for that to happen. Moses performed different miracles as well. He stretches his hand over the Red Sea and it parted. He prayed to God and manna fell, food from heaven. He prayed to God and flesh was given to the children of Israel. He prayed to God and God produced water out of a rock. He had committed many miracles. And it is well written. And they have the strong conviction that it is Jesus who has come now to redeem the Jews from under the oppression of the Romans. And they were waiting for this to take place. And because Jesus was killed, this very weekend, they became sad. Their political leader is now dead. And in their mind, they have lost. And you know, even here in America, there are many people who are on one side of the political fence, and there are others who are on the other side of the political fence. And especially in a charged society like America politically, when one party wins, regardless of which party that is, the other party is going to be extremely dark. Which is what happened to these two disciples here. Extremely sad because they have seen their political leader dead. And this conversation needs to be changed. And we would not know that these two disciples are taking this thing so hard. Hadn't it been for Jesus, who said that they were sad? And I'm wondering this morning in the service, how much of us are having only a conversation about Jesus without understanding fully who Jesus is? Because this is what happened to these two disciples up to this point. They were having a conversation about Jesus without fully understanding who Jesus was. They thought that he was going to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. And now he is gone. But Jesus uses a very, very strong word, a word that he himself said that we should not use. So it means that using the word in a context that is right is okay. But using it in a context that is wrong, it is totally wrong and against God, as he warned us in Matthew. And the context in which Jesus used the word is the correct context. The psalmist used it in the correct way. Paul used it in Galatians in the correct way. And now Jesus is using it in the correct way. And it is found in verse 25. And before that, we need to remember something that Jesus said. Jesus had declared earlier. He had declared in his ministry. He had declared even before Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom like what was on the mind of these two disciples. My kingdom is out of this world. We need to bear that in mind as we continue to look on this thought here today. So verse 25 says to us, then he said unto them, O fools, that's a strong language. Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Within the context, within the context of addressing them against the scripture. The word was properly used. Because what they are exhibiting, these two disciples, is a rebellion against God's word. It's a rebellion against what the word of God says. And Jesus addressed them equally with a strong language here. And then he went on to say in verse 26, not Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And then it is clear that Jesus was angry against the unbelief of these two disciples as they look on him as a political leader and no more. One stage, you remember when Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father and that will suffice us. And then Jesus turned around and said to Philip, are you so long with me, Philip? And you say to me, show us the Father? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. These are deep thoughts that Jesus chose to explain to his followers. And here, as Jesus walked with them on this 7-mile journey, and as they ponder the recent event, Jesus would both show mercy and compassion, as well as giving full explanation to a subject that is very, very important at this time. And the next verse tells us exactly what happened. Verse 27, church. Look on your Bible. Look into your Bible. Verse 27, what it says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. I don't know if the word all is in your Bible. But verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Changing the conversation, which is sad. It requires Jesus to go into the scripture to remove this firm feeling from these two disciples, which are necessary. In order for them to start to see something different, it requires this stranger to go into the scriptures, beginning in Genesis, and all the others come up to Malachi. The things that are there concerning himself. And I just imagine the type of Bible study this was as they cover this distance into Emmaus. I would imagine that Jesus would have gone and he would have reminded them about what Jacob said to Judah. Listen to what Jacob said to Judah. Genesis 49:10. I believe as Jesus went into the Old Testament and started to preach to these two disciples, he would have focused on the very things concerning himself that the prophets have said. And I'm saying to the church this morning, each time that we come to church, let us take our Bibles with us. Each time that we come into Bible study, let us explore the Bible together. I remember in one of our Bible studies, one of our sisters said, we are to make sure that we read the Bible. I'm not quoting her word for word, no. But in essence, what she was saying, read the Bible as often as you can. And when we look and see the work of that particular sister, it is clear that she is reading her Bible. Read the Bible. In fact, there's another section of the word that says, in them you shall find the words of eternal life in the scriptures. And so Jesus went to Genesis. While the Bible is silent and all the different passages that he must have read, he must have recited, seeing that he did not have a scroll with him. I believe this is one that he uses. And that is Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. We heard that last week. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until a lawgiver. I read it again. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Jacob prophesied this long ago before Jesus came. And this morning, that prophecy is fulfilling, because it is unto Jesus that you and I are gathering together. It is unto Jesus that different churches at this moment are having meetings all over the world. It is unto him that the gathering of the people be. Jesus may have quoted this passage to them, because everything that Jesus pointed to in the scripture was pertaining to himself, so as to drive confidence in the lives of these two disciples. I believe that Jesus went further. I believe he went to Psalm 16. I believe he went to Psalm 16, and he read verse probably 19, probably 9 and 10, that says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, the psalmist declared. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Jesus referring to himself here. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. They must believe that Jesus would die and Jesus would raise again. I believe that Jesus went here. I believe that Jesus explained to them that the prophet has spoken about me in this way a long time ago, that I would not decay in the grave, but I will rise again. The last one we're going to read from the Old Testament, which I believe that Jesus read a lot more, is from Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to what Isaiah 53 says. And I'm going to read from verse 3, 4, and 5. Listen to what it says. I believe Jesus came here. As he expounded to them the things of the Old Testament, the things of the prophets concerning himself, to change the conversation. To change the conversation that they were having. Listen to what Isaiah said, 53, from verse 3 to verse 5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. You heard me quote from time to time, where it is said that God was pleased in bruising Jesus. When the pump that nailed through his hand and his feet and the spear through his side, it pleases the Father to bruise him. When they plotted that crown of thorns, places it on his head, and the blood start gushing down in his face to the extent that his vision was marred more than any other man beyond recognition. The Father was pleased to see this happen, because there was a goal that is much greater than what Jesus was experiencing, and that was in bringing many sons into glory.
Yeah.
Look at the last verse here in Isaiah that I'm going to read, verse 5, which it is my feeling that Jesus went through this as well to these two disciples. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus quoted these scriptures and much more to these two disciples, because they would have enough time, 7 miles journey, to discuss all of this. And we haven't heard from them since. We only looked through the scriptures and realized it was Jesus speaking to them concerning the scriptures over these miles. And we would have not known the effect of it if we had stopped here in verse 27. But we need to go on a little further, because the conversation, which is sad, needs to be changed. And Jesus decided that he's going to go in the scripture in order to create a change. A change of heart. And I will say to us that maybe there are so many people in churches that only talk about Jesus. And apply Jesus to different things as these two disciples, but never really experience Jesus. So let us change here, we may ask. Jesus expounded the scripture to them. And I must tell you this, because the Bible reminded us that up until this moment, when Jesus decided to go to the Old Testament, because that's all there was at the time, they had not known that it was Jesus. The blur vision spirituality was hanging over them. Their vision was blurred and need to be cleared. And Jesus, the most able of all, is the one who prepared to undertake this responsibility. He gave up nowhere, but he knew that these men were struggling. He knew that these men were struggling for something more tangible than what they were perceived. And he decided that he was going to take on the responsibility of explaining to them what they need to know. So there are three things here, and I try to do it as quick as I can. There are three things that we look on, and we believe that these three represents change. Represents change. The first thing that we saw in this discourse is the fact that they have changed. These two men had changed. They have reached a place where they discover that they have changed. Their perception has changed in regards to who this person is called Jesus. Verse 31 and 32. Let's look at it for a minute. Luke 24, verse 31 and verse 32. By this time they have reached Emmaus. They have covered their destination. They have covered the distance and they have reached their destination by this time. And verse 31 said, and their eyes were open. I might as well give you a background into this. When they reached Emmaus, their destination, when they reached there, they were constrained. They constrained Jesus to tarry with them for the night because it was no late. Jesus consented, went in with them, and they decided to have supper. And at supper, Jesus broke the bread that was placed on the table. And in breaking the bread, what a moment. What a moment when the bulb in our mind exploded in radiance. What a moment. But they sat before him. And in his usual way of giving thanks to the Father. And his body language and his posture and his outlook on things that are present, they would have seen before. And the way in which he separates the two pieces of bread with utmost tenderness, respect and reverence for the provision, in that they saw Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, have you ever been in a worship service? And I keep emphasizing worship service because it means so much to me. Worship service means so much to me. Brother Billy, God bless you. Worship service means so much to the believers. Sister Barbara, Sister Bernice, Sister Fiani. he is. We know who, what he stands for. We know, we see his radiance. We see his glory. We see his brightness. We see him in all his splendor. Worship service. Like, oh, he broke that bread before the disciples. And they were hit with awe as they discover that this is the Master. Well, as I said to you, the first of the 3 points is that they were changed. Verse 31 and verse 32. And their eyes were opened. This is when during the breaking of the bread. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They knew that this is Jesus. He was with them. As he went through the scriptures, he exposed to them the different things concerning himself. Jesus had already laid the foundation of the surety of him dying and raised again. And it was now simmering in their heart. But having said that, they came face to face with the reality of him who had died and raised again. Hallelujah, church! And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another. Here is where the benefit of the Bible study came in. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? It was in the scripture that the change of perception came. Change from him being only a military man to the Savior. They get the impression now that greater than Moses is here. They get the impression that anything Moses can do, Jesus can do it better.
Amen.
And they were changed because their heart burns within them as he expounded to them the scriptures, and their focus was different at this point, and their attention was given to the risen Savior, and there were change in their heart. I want to say to all of us here, we need to have more. We need to have more than just talking about Jesus. We need to see Jesus. As our sister minister a few Sundays ago, we need to see Jesus. And as a result of the sister's obedience by carrying out the message that was given by the angel, they ended up seeing Jesus. We need to see Jesus. They saw him. And there was a change. Hallelujah. Not only that they changed. Listen, church, not only that they change, but the second point is their mission has changed. Their mission was changed. also, sometimes in order for course to be changed, we have to go back to the scripture to see what the scripture has to say on this particular matter. On this particular matter, let the scripture speak for a change of mission. Verse 33 tells us, look on it. Say Luke chapter 24, verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Meaning, the women who were there with the disciples, not leaving center stage. They were still at Jerusalem where the whole thing unfolds. The women were huddling together with the men because they have a common value. They have a common situation that they all were dealing with. But these two had decided that they were going to move away from the scene. For whatever reason best known to them, their political leader had lost, and they were heading back home. But verse 33 tells us, and they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And I really like this phrase, and them that were with them, meaning the woman. The mission has changed. They just reached Emmaus. For whatever reason, they had gone to Emmaus. Whatever reason they had gone to Emmaus, they forfeit that mission. Immediately having discovered Jesus, they forfeit the mission. And they decide that I'm going to go back to headquarters. I'm going to go back to the center of activities. I'm going to go back to where Jesus would want us to be. Sometimes we have wandered. We have wandered from church. We have wandered from church. We have to be asking, where is brother so-and-so? We haven't seen him for a while. Where is sister so-and-so? We haven't seen her for a while. But I'm saying to all of you here today, it is time to go back to church. Hallelujah. It is time to go back to headquarters. It is time to go back to the center of gravity to find and discover who Jesus is. Because that is where he will be when we go back to where he wants us to be. So we find that there, as a result of Jesus coming in, because the topic is changing a sad conversation. Jesus came in, and as a result of him going through the scripture, he has changed a sad conversation. And not only that he has changed a sad conversation, he has changed the two disciples. And he has also changed the mission that they were on. And the third thing that we see change here is that the conversation that they were having, which was sad, has no change to a word or a message. He has changed the sad conversation to a message. Listen to verse 34 and 35. That conversation, sad conversation, has no change to a message. Listen to 34, 35. Saying Luke chapter 24. Saying, Remember what we have just read in 33. And it might be necessary to go over it again so that we can get the fullness of these two verses. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, this is a message. This is a message. A sad conversation turned into a message of triumph. Listen to what he said, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they continue, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. This is the message that they take from Emmaus back to the headquarters. As they reveal the risen Savior. As they reveal that a heart was burning while he spoke to them. As they reveal that they had seen him across the table. Look into his eyes and see his body language and discover that this is indeed Jesus, the Son of God. You are here this morning, today in this room, in the service. You have been given a message, the message of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And he has given us a message. Every one of us here has gotten a message. It is not just to talk about Jesus, but it's to spread the message. It is to spread the message that we have received as a result of the experience that we have with him. And brethren, I want to say to us today, let's refresh our bowels here as we look on the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, we are going to find the life of Jesus. In the scriptures, we're going to find a purpose for living. In the scriptures, we're going to find the energy that we need to go forward in a dangerous time like this. In America and the world, where we are being bombarded with bad news, one after the other. In the scriptures, we will find a message that will dispel all the negative conversations and give life to what we believe and give longevity to our conviction that we will continue to serve the Lord. So today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. We want to change. And there are those who keep saying, man, write the Bible. They are hiding under that cover. They would say a lot of negative things in regards to the scriptures, hiding under a cover, trying to justify their behavior and belief. Man write the Bible. Man do this. Jesus went to the scriptures. Jesus went straight to the scriptures. And Jesus brought out the evidence concerning himself. And it changes the lives of these disciples. Also change you if you are here and you have not committed your life to the Lord. He wants to change you. The songwriter declares his voice makes the difference. When he speaks, he relieves my troubled mind. It's the only voice that I know that makes a difference, and I will follow one day at a time. Not a songwriter said, great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. Things I used to do, I'll do them no more. Places I used to go, I will go then. It is a great change since I was born. And friends, I want to leave with you the thought that when you are engaged in your sad conversation, remember, Jesus might come in as a stranger. He might come in as a stranger. You might just get an advice from somebody who you weren't even thinking about spiritually. But God sent him or her to you. In a stranger fashion, as he appeared to these two disciples. They didn't know him. But he went to the scripture. In a sad conversation, God might send somebody, but God is behind it to you, to give an advice. Will you yield for the change? The Lord bless you. Father, we bless your name, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for thinking about us when we weren't thinking about you. We thank you that you are more than a political leader. Your kingdom is not of this world. Oh God, we just bless your name. And we thank you for all you have done, because you have done all things well. Bless your people who are here this day in this service. And continue to remind us, Lord, that you are the change that we have been waiting for. And you have come to change our lives to make it better. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.